If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at the right stuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
Hello and welcome. It is the Daily Show at number 1105. From the river to the sea doesn't rhyme with that, but I don't care.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
Today we are welcoming from the White Papers Institute and the By the Numbers podcast. James Carlson has joined us in place of the ailing and suffering Alex McNabb, who has
filling in for my own co-host.
Yes.
Did he have like a breakdown when they melted the Lee statue? Like he just couldn't.
I think that weird mask he was wearing the other day, like he ingested too much off gassing, and now he's just kind of been nerve gassed. Really, he's in a tunnel with his with his nerve gas mask.
He nerve gassed himself in the tunnel.
Yeah, the United
States. I don't even know if Alex knows about the statue. He hasn't sent me a "I hate the Yankee Nation" voice message for a while, so I don't think he knows.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly though, the Yankee Nation isn't the one that did this. This is done by, like, the Nigger Kike Nation.
Yeah, a good portion of the Yankee Nation hates this stuff. Hates this.
Good portion of the Yankee Nation went down to Charlottesville to protest it, too.
Yeah, that too.
So, yeah,
There was pretty broad mainstream support for, like, can we not take these monuments down? But there was just no going up against.
It was unpopular.
It was very unpopular.
Polling from the time reveals that it was unpopular to remove monuments.
Unless, of course, James pulls one of these fucking studies out of his ass that tells me that's not true. And I hope he doesn't do that to me. Don't do that.
No, well, I know that it's true because I was looking at
the data. It's insanely unpopular.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Insanely unpopular.
Good.
Yeah, even like some libtards didn't really like the idea of it. They're like, just, you know, whatever. No. Additionally, the other thing is, what if you live in, like, here's one of the funny things. What's one of the rewards that you get for being a libtard? Why do people do it? One of the things that you get out of it, theoretically, you used to, although this bargain seems to be changing and this is going to cause some problems, you get to live in places like Charlottesville.
God damn it.
And a place like Charlottesville is an attractive town. It's nice. It's got older buildings from the older era. You know, town was founded by Thomas Jefferson. University was founded by Thomas Jefferson. It's got a lot of older architecture, nice buildings, nice gardens, nice lawns. It's a very attractive, pleasant place to be, and it's got nice public artwork. Whatever else you think about the Lee statue, it was a nice piece of art. It was attractive. It made the park, it gave some class to the park. The same with the Stonewall Jackson statue, which I think has also been removed, which was down the street. That's one of the rewards you get for being a libtard. You get to live in these kinds of places. But now they take the Lee statue down. What are they going to replace it with? They're probably just put some kind of like statue of a turd there or something like that.
Yeah, like the arms hugging each other, like with no heads.
Or something really ugly and discordant looking, like something really like some neo-modernistic bullshit crap that's like ugly on purpose and it says nothing and doesn't give you any sense of place or history.
The neo-modernistic bullshit house.
Right, yeah, seriously, some neo-modernistic bullshit statue, you know, like something like that is going to replace it. And so Charlottesville just is going to be uglier. It's going to be less nice. It's going to be less pleasant.
Harriet Tubman's fat ass.
Oh, God. That's the thing. You can't.
I'll be right back. I'm having trouble with my earphone thing. You guys carry the show. I'll be right back.
Yeah. A majestic equestrian statue of a white man, a white general with a sword on a horse is going to be much more attractive than some fat black mammy. It just is the case. It's going to add a lot more. It's going to add a lot more class and ambiance to the area than the other, right? That's the thing. It's like The spaces that liberals used to occupy were places like Charlottesville, Virginia, places like, you know, the campuses of these elite colleges. One, they're being racially excluded from these elite colleges, and now they're making them less attractive and ugly to fit more really with the Jewish, kind of like a Jewish aesthetic sensibility, which is actually more geared towards asymmetry and discord and ugliness. Like, their actual sensibilities are geared towards that, and that is, you know, I think that comes from the prohibition on humanistic, naturalistic forms in their religion. But anyway, let's press forward.
Yeah. Just look this up real quick. Only 27% of the public wanted to remove any kind of Confederate statue. So even from that a percentage that low, even a huge portion of libtards wanted to retain that statue.
Right.
And statues generally. Like, these people don't want to
destroy
their nice niche.
Right. People don't like destroying art. They don't like the idea of it. Because they've also been told certain things. Certain stories about what happens when that's done, and that's true to an extent. Like, you know, if you are once you erase the history, like they'll be able to lie now and say, like, these people were never here.
Yeah,
you know. So but you know, here we are. I was very rustled, but that image of the face of the Lee statue being heated in the furnace, that's going to be everywhere. I couldn't watch the video.
That's right here.
I
saw the picture. I couldn't watch the video.
Yeah.
I hadn't had that feeling. You know, I look at that and I get the same feeling I did the day that Notre Dame burned in Paris. It's just like, ow, you feel like you get stabbed. I can't.
They are doing that on purpose. They know.
Oh yeah, they are.
That's how you feel. They're doing this on purpose. They're gloating. So the other thing to understand, I want to say this right at the time when everybody is saying, maybe we can make it, not everyone, some people are saying, maybe we can make a deal with these Jews. They're feeling under fire now. They're feeling like their leftist pets are turning on them, and they're turning on their leftist pets. Maybe we can help them and kick these leftists while the Jews are going at them and blah,
we've
blah.
We've been through this.
Yeah, we've been through it, but hold on. We'll keep doing it. We make the same points 100 times. You know, we do it over and over because that's how this works. But just at that time, the Jews are saying they're delivering this massive fuck you to Whitey right in the middle of the time when they're crying out for help from conservatives, and not a single conservative in power, not a single one, is going to say anything about this because they are too busy sucking off Israel. They are literally too busy sucking Israel's balls to say a word about this and the cultural vandalism of this act. And the lies that we were promised this would be put up in a museum. There were people that tried to buy it so it wouldn't be destroyed. They refused to sell it. Mm-hmm. They didn't put it in a museum, and now they've melted it down. So no one is – have you heard – I've not heard a single protest of this. I mean, maybe I'm missing it, but I have not heard or seen a single protest from any conservative with any kind of official station because – you know, and they wouldn't, even if they weren't busy sucking off Israel's balls, they wouldn't have said anything.
Well,
they would cheer it on, like, this is a conservative act.
Well, I told you in prep what Ann Coulter said. And I'll read it again for the general audience.
Yes, I mean,
she said in 10 years,
maybe he can disciple.
It's like, in 10 years, this will be BB. That was her reaction to seeing the image of the video. Really,
so it's funny you say that because I was literally opening her Twitter to see if she had said anything.
Yeah.
Anne has been going absolutely buck wild on the pro-Israel stuff, figure.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not really sure what she means by that.
I don't understand it. There's a few interpretations. None of them are good.
Right. I mean, either she means that the Palestinians are going to do that to him, or she means that...
The anti-Semitic left, I assume.
Right. The anti-Semitic left is going to melt his face. Like, I can't think of an interpretation of this that isn't like her saying we have to intervene to save BB because someone's going to melt his face.
Hmm.
Something. Yeah. Well, I think it might be best case interpretation is still bad, which is that it's like Jews are getting their comeuppance because they sponsored this and now it's going to be them next.
That we're going to have replace the statue in Lee Park with the Bibi Netanyahu statue and then tear it down?
Well,
is that what she was like?
If you were to propose such a thing to somebody like Lindsey Graham.
Oh, God.
Or if you were to propose, like,
I put the statue in my ass.
Honestly, I'm not joking. Well, I am. I guess I am joking. But, like, as a joke, I'm not joking, but here's what we should do as a joke. See if we can actually, through some letter writing campaign or something, get a Republican congressman to, like, propose this. To propose a statue of Benjamin Netanyahu instead of Robert E. Lee.
We could probably just write an email. I mean,
just write an email to Lindsey Graham, and he'll put it on the floor.
He would do it within a day. I mean, we got a funding bill for Israel within an hour of a new speaker.
Yeah, that's why we got that.
Well, that's why they also, we should talk about that, too.
That's why we got a new speaker, right? It's like
that's why we got a new speaker, I think. I mean, because they settled for some guy who's like a complete retard.
You do some T-shirts. Big Johnson's, like, Israel military aid bill. Like Big Johnson's Iron Dome factory donations. Yeah. To Big Johnson's Zionist weaponry.
Black Sun.
Big Johnson's Big Black Sun. I forgot about that. Yeah,
his Big Black. His Big Black Sun. Big Johnson's wife's Black Sun.
About that kid, he and his wife, Johnson and his wife, married fairly early in their early 20s.
Yeah, and this kid was 14.
They like adopted him straight off the street when he was 14, and they're like less than not even a decade older. Very weird. Very weird.
And they're like he was on a bad path. I was like, yeah, he's a nigger. Of course he is.
Yeah. Well, that's fucking strange.
Yeah, it was
very
odd.
Weird.
Because see, that nigger could just kill them.
Yeah.
He probably should. If he did, I would legitimately laugh.
He and his wife may have only been like 21 or 22.
Mm.
And.
Yeah. So just so you understand, like, you know, I had on my Telegram, I could grab the videos. Two videos of him. One, you know, the one that's everyone's seen where when he becomes speaker, he immediately passes the Israel funding, but the other one.
Yeah,
is
I have that
him.
Clip on mine. I just sent it. Oh. The 15th.
Okay, yeah. And then there's the other one where he's talking about his black son.
Open in Telegram desktop. Okay. Is it going to work? Oh, now we're going to hear a bunch of fucking. Oh, you went Telegram.
Oh,
please.
Hold on. I have it on Twitter. Do you want it on Twitter?
Oh, no. I just got it. Yeah. I assume, is it fucking working? Is it going to play?
Extraordinary crisis right now.
All right. Wow, this is.
This guy sounds like a. Something about this guy also kind of sounds like half a fag. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, right.
I guess that's not going to work.
Just use the Twitter link.
I need a Twitter. Hang on. How do I get out of here? How do I get out of this Telegram desktop? Get out of here.
But he does sound weird. He's from Northwest Louisiana, so it almost sounds like he's sort of packing on the accent. It's very.
Yeah, he sounds like, fake as fuck.
I didn't like anything about him, and I did watch his whole 25-minute speech, and he does the whole "my mama" bit. It really lathering it up.
This guy is giving me Kenny Valley vibes.
When I heard him speak, I just didn't pick up on an accent. I was like, oh yeah, this guy's definitely legit. Like, put that on a cracker, dude. Like, he sounds like a real fucking
extraordinary crisis right now. And the world needs us to be strong. They need us to remember our creed and our admonition. Turmoil and violence have rocked the Middle East, Eastern Europe.
Turmoil? Is that an authentic Louisiana like accent right there? Turmoil?
I don't fucking know, dude. Nothing about this guy. This guy's like a robot. Like, this guy just seems fake to me. He seems
Middle
like
East and
false
Eastern
person.
Europe, we all know it. Intentions continue to build in the Indo-Pacific.
The what? Oh, the Indo. I thought you said the Endo.
I don't think
Pacific.
He knows where.
I was like,
what's
an Endo? Isn't an Endo like it's like a skateboarding trick or something?
Built in the Indo Pacific.
Endo used to be a word niggers would use for weed.
Oh, that's right.
The country demands strong leadership of this body, and we must not waver.
I'm strongly leading my body.
Ship of this body.
I'm sorry.
And we must not waver.
I'm wavering with my body.
Oh, God.
Okay. Oh, it's our right. misinterpretation of a comedy bit no one's ever seen.
Our nation's
it doesn't
greatest...
matter.
It's I know. It's like.
Did you know that the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded? The only reason you're hearing this right now is because you're only getting half the show. There's so much content you're missing, and you'll never hear these ads again if you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
Body wash.
Greatest ally.
Oh man,
we could
use that in Congress, right? We need some body wash and wash. Let's try to get through this.
Dirty. This is terrible.
Nation's greatest ally in the Middle East is under attack.
Oh.
The first bill that I'm going to bring to this floor in just a little while will be in support of our dear friend Israel, and we're overdue in getting that done.
Israel.
Universal applause. Unanimous.
Yeah, everybody is standing and clapping, yeah. By the way. Both sides.
I watched.
Go ahead, James. What?
I watched the full 25-minute speech. The full House only stood to clap twice. The first time was the Israel comment there, and the second time was when he said, I know you're all patriots who love this country and we can work together. Those were the only two times the full House stood for a 25-minute speech.
I know you're all patriots that stand up for Israel.
So,
but he just did the greatest ally bit. I want to answer from conservative. Like, what have we ever gotten out of this strategic alliance with them? Like, they're a great ally. Like, what have they ever given? Nothing. Like, we send them all this aid. We fight all these wars to keep them safe. Like, what does Israel do?
Yeah. Yeah,
Is the answer like that's anti-Semitic? Like how dare like?
Well, because you want to know what's funny about the greatest ally thing.
Hmm.
The left believes it too. Even the Palestinian left promotes this idea. Like Noam Chomsky promotes the greatest ally idea.
Okay.
Right. Like if you think about it, because they are interested because what the whole point of the. Of Jews involved in the Palestine left, and we've discussed all this before, but we'll do it again. But you know, remember we had Noam Chomsky, we kept showing that clip of him, right? There's other clips we could show of him where he talks about Israel is like an armed forward base of America, et cetera, et cetera. And these narratives persist, and even in some people who are kind of like maybe conservative leaning pro-Russia type things, like then they wander into criticizing Israel and things like that, and then these older lefty narratives are still sitting there hanging around and they adopt them, and the idea that America intervenes in the Middle East for oil, the idea that Israel is a forward operating military base, we are using the Jews so that we can use their country as a military base to get oil. Now, there's no empiricism in any of this. There's no actual evidence of any of this. There's no circumstances that have happened. There's no time when this has actually been done. Israel has never actually been used in that capacity ever. In fact, when the United States goes in on it with our own military assets to take out enemies of Israel, they very much stay out of it. So. There's no attacks launched from Israel when we go and invade Iraq and things like that. So what are they talking about, right? So it's made up. And it's made up by Jews that have taken over the Palestine movement and try and make it about butt sex or abortion or whatever. But, you know, they also believe that greatest ally bit. So that's sort of like a universal belief system. Or it's promoted on both sides of the aisle, even from now. There's no one on either side of the aisle that's pro-Palestine, but even the pro-Palestine left promotes this idea that Israel is America's greatest ally. It's not, and that's I think one of the things I've been trying to do since this all started is really attack those old leftist tropes Israel, because those people I feel like can sort of be reached by reason, because they're already not taking the Israeli side; they're taking the Palestine side. They already don't like what Israel does, and I just feel like there's more opportunity there to move them to like the right position. Whereas talking to like pro-Israel conservative Americans is good luck. I mean, because these people are so brainwashed. They are so bought in. I mean, these people, I was noticing some stuff that is produced specifically for them by Jews where they actually produce, they actually have phony, they create like phony Palestinian crisis actors that create phony, what appears to be Palestinians making obviously fake propaganda.
Oh, I saw this, yeah.
And then they show this to like conservatives and they're like, see, look at these Palestinians doing crisis actor shit. Again, as if they're all dying in bombings and stuff. I'm like, bro, like,
that's confusing, though. Like, what, aren't the conservatives, they're just, like, ghoulishly happy when the Palestinians die in bombing. So it's like, what are you, like, that seems like that should be a weak point in the Israeli, like, argument. It's like, well, the angry boomer comedy. Like, what do you mean they didn't bomb the hospital? Of course they did. They deserved it. Those commie brown people. Yeah.
It's wild.
Oh, my hip is killing.
I mean, there is a significant portion of people who, when you start bombing hospitals and you hear about pregnant women and children being blown to pieces, they step back and they go, whoa, 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 whoa. Especially when you tell them that it's your tax dollars and it was an American made bomb. There are a lot of people who take a step back. Yeah. So you have to cover that base.
The press in America completely censors images of Palestinian. I mean, to some extent, I know that, like, now the right complains bitterly. Bitterly, bitterly, bitterly. Conservatives, I used to know someone who was a big activist, an older woman, a boomer, who was a big activist in the conservative right, a big-time Republican Party activist, Gentile, but she's super pro-Israel, beyond Zionist. She would bitterly complain that, like, any time images of, like, Palestinians suffering or getting killed or any time that, like, even the proxies – of, you know, like the Palestinian Authority, who the U.S. is like standing up as like a fake, you know, controlled opposition. If their arguments were allowed or made or appeared anywhere, she used to call NPR National Palestinian Radio. and they were so butthurt at like the sort of any, the pretense of even handedness about it. And, you know, even that, it's like, you know, it's so controlled what gets to those people's eyes. Like, you're not going to see any, like on Fox News and Newsmax and things like that, these people look at all it's 40 babies beheaded all day, every day. And just like the insane, like lurid, like most insane claims, like they just say shit. They're just saying anything. Like they don't. And there's no. So, yeah, they just have these people in a bloodlust and they have no idea. And, you know, on some level, Joe Biden went out. And then he denied the count of dead that they're coming out of the Gaza Strip. It was like 7,500 people or something like that. And he's like, yeah, well, we just don't believe what the Palestinians are saying.
Based. Thank you.
And so yeah, like the conservative right on this is just terrible. I mean, and they're very brainwashed and they're just, what they see is very sanitized. And then Jews, the thing is, if you see the videos that they present, and this is for the most goofy, retarded types of boomers, right? This sort of phony, they call it Pallywood. And Jews are making, I'm confident Jews are making this stuff because it's like, they're showing like what appear to be ridiculous videos of people pretending very fake ways that they're dying and suffering, but I'm like,
the one that I saw was really poorly made. Is like, this is definitely like fake propaganda. Like, this is
right,
laughably bad.
But Palestinians don't need to do that because there's actual, obviously not fake footage,
right?
Overwhelmingly, if you're on Telegram, forget about it. You will see crazy, like awful shit, and they don't need to fake.
I had to turn on my filter for Telegram because I just couldn't.
I don't look at stuff like that, but I know it's real, and I know what's happening, and it's not fake. And so when you see something that is obviously fake and staged, like, well, the only group that benefits from that is Jews, and I'm sure they're doing that, and it looks goofy, and it will make you hate the people in the video. So I'm just like, yeah, this is just Jew propaganda. This is just Jew propaganda. And there's one guy, they have one guy who they keep putting in the videos over and over again, and they have like a nickname for it, and it's like obviously this is a Jewish information operation. Like, it just clearly is. But
this reminds me of when what were they called? The White Helmets in Syria. Every conservative for months was obsessed with meticulously picking apart their released propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have the same sort of propaganda operation going on, blaming the Palestinians, and now these people are meticulously picking apart the fake Palestinian propaganda. And this is now the obsession. The war is no longer the obsession for these people. They're now obsessed with picking apart the propaganda releases.
Well, this is what we talked about last show, where we talked about Nathan Ruzer and the visual investigations people, like the Bellingcat people, the ASPE people, these groups that employ so-called experts who are just people, like internet people, that look at pictures and stuff, and they give them satellite photo, and they give them pictures and news pictures, and then they basically concoct a narrative based on, like, drawing lines on pictures and stuff like that, and saying, like, here, this, that, and the other. Here's the photo evidence analysis, and they give them and then they give credence to this, and they amplify it throughout their networks. And that, one, it pokes holes in the reality, and it, two, it activates internet autism brain amongst people who enjoy that. And it also makes people feel like it also activates, I'm the smartest guy on the internet type thing, right? So it gets people in those modes where, like, I'm picking everything apart, I'm deconstructing everything, I'm also the smartest guy, I understand photo analysis, I understand military ordnance, I know how explosions work, I know how things look when they're real and fake. And those conceits that the internet people give themselves are all activated by this sort of propaganda. So when you show them, like, here's the visual investigation showing the Gaza hospital couldn't have been bombed by Israel, then those kinds of people that like to do that kind of stuff, they're really activated. And then they go out and do it on their own, and they say, look, the blast radius of this couldn't be the correct blast radius from this type of bomb. And this, you know, and it's just like, you know, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I started.
Like, shut the fuck up.
Did you see the New York Times well actually that?
Yes, they did.
That was hilarious. And they well actually, the Department of Defense and Israel, they're like, because DOD and Israel released some joint thing, and they're like, it couldn't possibly have been Israel. And the New York Times was like, wait a minute. Actually,
well, it's so stupid. There was, like, something where they're like, based on this image, we see a Hamas rocket launch, one of the rockets goes astray, then we see the hospital explode. And they were like, that thing that went astray was launched from Israel. It wasn't a Hamas rocket, it was launched from Israel.
Yeah, right.
We've shown it. And then they're like, and it also had nothing to do with the hospital being bombed. And I'm like, right, that's actually accurate. What that was an Iron Dome missile. So basically, The Hamas launched rockets, Israel launched Iron Dome rockets. None of that shit hit the hospital. But while that was going on, they just bombed the fucking hospital. That's what happened.
As far as I'm aware, Israel did admit it. They're like, well, the first thing was, we didn't bomb that hospital. Then it was, you can't prove we didn't bomb. We bombed that hospital. Dude, then it was, well, we bombed the garage.
They bombed the hospital. Like, well, it doesn't.
You're forgetting.
It's like, there's no point in this autism. Well, like, Israel is bombing shit out of that whole area.
I just find the narrative funny.
You missed a couple of steps. Like, well, we warned them, they should have left. It was also
that's true.
And then there was also deleted tweets. Like, oh, this is very sad that we had to do this. And then those were deleted.
Right.
There was a whole bunch more steps to that. It was crazy.
It was like an eight-step drama.
Yeah.
Before we get away from it, we should watch the Mike Johnson Big Black Sun video, which I put in the
shit.
In the chat.
Oh, is that
and there's
the
another
mega
video after that we can watch, which is just also pretty odious.
Is it the mega file you got?
Mega one, yeah. Okay. I always use mega.
All right, very good. Oh my god, people! All right, here we go. I'm gonna start it now.
And I've thought often through all these ordeals over the last couple of weeks about the difference in the experiences between my two 14-year-old sons, Michael being a Black American and Jack being white, Caucasian. They have different challenges. My son Jack has an easier path. He just does. The interesting thing about both of these kids, Michael and Jack, is they're both handsome, articulate, really talented kids,
yeah,
gifted by God
it.
To do lots of things. But the reality is, and no one can tell me otherwise, my son Michael had a harder time than my son Jack is going to have simply because of the color of his skin.
True.
That's a reality. It's an
That's actually the opposite of what's
well,
true.
I believe he has a harder time, like, understanding math and reading.
Yeah. But I mean, like, in the, but, like, in the future, like, your
yeah,
two so, your two, your two sons
of,
like
social yeah.
like your white son is going to have, like, doors closed like you've never believed.
Want to acknowledge?
Yeah, well, he knows
people have to recognize that's a fact.
What should we do about that?
I think that we need, we really do need systematic change. I think we need transformative solutions. I think we're at a moment where we can begin to do more to form that more perfect union, as it says in the first line of the Constitution.
Oh, shut up.
They have launched a number of strikes, and to make that, hold on, to make that determination.
I'm sorry, why the fuck does YouTube not give me a fucking pause button?
Forget,
I was trying to,
just don't forget, that's conservative Republican Speaker of the House. That's not some shit lib. Those are the good guys.
Yeah, and I guarantee you,
that's
by
a
this
racist.
Point,
that's a racist MAGA Nazi.
That's that.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Not only is that guy a Republican, that's a MAGA extremist Republican, election denier.
That
COVID
is a Christo fascist. I believe I saw.
Yes, Christo fascist. Christo fascist. Yes. And additionally, I will guarantee you at this point, if they chime in at all, these people will be characterizing the melting down of the Lee statue as a conservative act.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee it. And if they're not doing it now, they'll be doing it soon. Because remember, here's another thing. Here's something else to remember. Conservatives are making a lot of noise right now. It seems like the thing they like to focus on the most is Queers for Palestine. Have you seen this?
I'm seeing two things. I keep seeing Queers for Palestine, and I keep being told that siding with Palestine is siding with BLM. Those are the two things I keep seeing.
Okay. Well, why is it that conservatives are so focused on Queers for Palestine? What is the point that they're making?
They know everyone hates them.
No. If you think about it, they're actually angry about Queers for Palestine. And the reason is because Queers for Palestine undermines the entire purpose behind like neoconservative ideology. Like they feel like these people, it's not that they're like don't like queers, it's because they feel betrayed by them. It's sort of subtle, and it's embedded in the assumptions of everything. Like Tommy Lahren, when she comes out and she lists all those weird gay holidays, right? And she's like, how many of these are celebrated in Palestine? You would think that's a pro-Palestine post if you didn't know any better, but it's not. It's meant to be like an own on the libs, but then it's like, but the own is like, you queers are supporting something that doesn't support queers, but we support queers,
right?
So why are you biting the hand that feeds is kind of the point they're making, and it actually makes them upset because it's like, in fact, the whole purpose. Listen to John Kirby, State Department spokesman, who fake cries over fake Jew baby deaths.
Right.
He says that spreading LGBT ideology is a part and parcel of our foreign policy. It's the reason for it.
I just saw the best new conspiracy theory ever. So his son, Michael, grew up to be Michael Obama, married President Obama.
Oh, Lord.
Johnson's black son is Michelle Obama.
Look, okay, fair enough.
Works for me. I don't care. Anyway, back to what you were saying.
So yeah, that's why. So the Queers for Palestine thing, like, I think it's fucking retarded, and I think it actually harms the Palestinian cause, which I think the purpose of it. It's Jews that get into pro-Palestine spaces, and the Palestinian activists are afraid to say no to Jews, and so they take it and they twist it to be about something else and make it look retarded and stupid. So or normal people will look at it and be like, that's incongruous. I guess I'll just ignore that. That's just fucking retarded. Like, that doesn't make sense. But when conservatives go after that, there's like this particular venom. And it's because they are like, no, we're for queers. Like, you're attacking and undermining the whole purpose of our entire stated ideology. Like, we invade countries and bomb them for queers. What do you mean? Queer? What are you talking about?
Right.
Like, they're actually
you're
angry.
Basically offending the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yes. That's the funny thing. The reality is Queers for Palestine is a Jewish infiltration of the Palestine movement to undermine it and make it look retarded, or just to distract it to issues that don't matter at all to Palestinians. Like when I saw this photo of these people out there, like saying like, freedom for Palestine, reproductive rights means freedom for Palestine. And I'm like, I guarantee you Jews would love nothing more than to get some kind of fucking reproductive rights abortion movement going in the Palestinian territories. Like they'd absolutely love Palestinians lining up behind abortion clinics. They would love that. So like, what the fuck are you talking about? Right. And so that's the kind of shit that's just like, when I look at it, I'm like, what's going on? Like this is suspicious as hell. And it's because of Jews. It's Jews infiltrating that movement, making it retarded. But it's just funny how actually angry conservatives get about that shit. I guarantee you, like, reproductive freedom for Palestine too, they would fucking flip the fuck out too, because they're like, no, reproductive freedom is in America. Wait, hold on.
Wait a minute. Right?
Yeah, no, I'm telling you
that, right?
Yeah, no, I'm telling you that they would have the same reaction. Like that fucking kike Alex Stein is out there doing like the pretending to be a drag queen and saying he's like pro-Palestinian. And it's like, what's the actual political point you're making, buddy? Like, what is it? It looks like it's a cheap lib own, but behind it, the assumptions behind it is just like, it's actually like a statement that the entire American empire is based around supporting fags, which it is. Jews and fags.
You get this in academia too. You will get you'll get credentialed professors, you know, some PhD student in feminist studies who will go on a stage and give a speech about how, well, you know, if you really want to support the Palestinian people, you'll support our cause. They'll make a whole case for why you should support a two-state solution, which can only come about if Hamas is destroyed and Hamas is anti-feminist. They'll make a whole case. They do this with a range of issues.
Yeah, that, to whole, me, that's whole, just like, yeah.
The whole point is muddy the water.
Yeah.
Muddy the water.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jews absolutely hate when they can't muddy the water. This is one of the reasons why they hate us so much, is because we just always are like, no, the issue is Jews.
Right.
Like, no, I don't care about, like, you're trying to bring in some extraneous thing. Like, when people come in and they do like the, but what about Russia, China? What about their geopolitical ambitions? They're not our friends. I don't care. I don't care. No, these Jews, I don't care. I don't care. And they do this. They seed the paleo conservative right, which is sort of adjacent to us. They seed them with a lot of these issues. They put them forward because they have a lot of control over everything on the right except us. So they put these issues forward. They get them talking about them, discussing them. And then these are like issues that the dissident right broadly is supposed to be talking about, supposed to be addressing. And so you're supposed to be talking about the WF. You're supposed to be talking about COVID. You're supposed to be talking about China buying real estate in Australia. You're supposed to be talking about all of these things, right? But if you always relate it just back to Jews and you focus on that, the issue is race, the issue is Jews, it drives Jews absolutely fucking up the wall, because they spend so much time putting out all these things you're supposed to, but we do have to worry about, you know, Russia. What about Russia? What about our shipping lanes? Years ago, I was at a thing, and I was speaking at a thing. It was like a guy had brought one of his friends who was kind of like new to the whole thing. And the guy like pulled me aside. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm curious, but what's your point about this? And he's like, you know, but I am actually worried about, you know, Russia's increasing power and their ability to challenge our shipping lanes and stuff. And I was like, I don't think you get it, bro. I was like, who cares about that?
Yeah, right.
I was like, why? Like, who gives a shit? And he was like kind of taken aback. I was like, no, that shit doesn't matter. Like, the whole point of this is that the American empire backed by Jews, like, it's got to go because it's trying to kill white people.
Yes, yeah. That is always my whole point whenever anyone brings up Russia, China, et cetera, it is they are trying to knock this thing over.
Yeah.
That is what I support. End of story. That's it. That's all I'm.
I think they're not trying hard enough. I think they're way too complacent. But that's my view.
But again,
from their perspective, they don't want to get nuked. So I get it too. But like they're playing a slower. They're doing a slow burn on the U.S. empire, and like a lot of people are like, no, let's do a fast burn. But like, so I understand it. But I'm also like, if you're coming to me like concerned about like Russia and China like having control over some shipping lanes, like I don't give a shit, bro. Like that's not what we're not. And if that's something that you're supposed to be discussing in like paleo conservative circles, then like,
well, it
that's
is because like in,
not relevant
in like paleo times, like those were the kind of things you had like real wars about, you know.
Yeah,
shipping
yeah,
lanes. But it's like yeah, things in are a little bit times, different.
It's like you must be mistaken thinking this is a real country.
Yeah,
Like those shipping lanes aren't being.
Yeah.
It's like not master and commander out there.
People start doing geopolitical realism that's 70 years out of date.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, it's true. Yeah. Yeah. That's also the feeling I get when I watch English language Russia shills. And what's very funny about watching them, I've actually noticed that some of them are rising. Some of them are like rising to the top with good shit, and some of them are kind of just stagnating. What's funny about it is because of the restrictions of being of producing English language content in America or Great Britain, they are like way behind where Russia actually is itself.
Okay.
Like they can't even doing Base Putin now, which used to just be totally allowed. I mean, it was sort of somewhat suppressed, but it was you really wouldn't get that censored for doing that shit on YouTube. It was actually all over YouTube. Mm-hmm. But now those people like Scott Ritter, the Duran, people like that are like really very careful how they talk about stuff. And like, I don't know if they can even talk about the fact that Russia just hosted a diplomatic conference with Hamas and Iran yesterday in Moscow.
I didn't see that. I saw the remarks he made in front of religious leaders. I took that to be like Orthodox Christian stuff, locals. Did you see these remarks he made? I read them on my stupid show.
Oh,
yesterday.
No, I haven't, but yeah.
It's like his heart is in the right place. It's like they're laying all the blame for all this turmoil on he says the West, but it's like I know what he means. It's like, yeah, you're talking about Zog.
But
he talks about it. He does. It's so annoying because it's so conservative. It's almost like, you know, those memes, like that meme of like the Confederate guy and the nigger like bumping fists, like this is what they really fear.
Yeah.
Like
what I get every time I hear him speak to.
Yeah, he gets one of those. He's like, he sort of like talks about like all these hatreds that are stoked by the West, Muslims against Jews, Muslims against this. They allow Christians to vandalize Muslim holy sites. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you?
Well,
because he's doing the conservative, like we're like Russian Federation is actually a more principled liberal empire than you are. And it's
here's the thing. Actually still better though.
It's funny. It's funny because I said on my show that like the sin he's really committing there is he's describing the Jews as if they're just another one of these marginalized groups. And he's like, no, Vlad, like they're the only group, and you can't get away with that, which is funny, which puts them in a tizzy too. To be spoken
in terms
of
what he. Well, that's the other thing. In terms of what he says, though.
Yeah.
I'm actually he's a politician. I'm less interested in. Oh yeah. Here's the thing. Like in America, we're so used to politicians saying shit like that and just doing whatever Jews want.
Yeah, right.
He's saying shit like that, and he has Hamas and Iran for a diplomatic conference in Moscow. So it's a very different thing.
Yeah,
you know, this is.
I agree entirely. My position on this stuff has always been: I really don't give a shit about what you say. I really care about what you're doing, the policy you're making, how you're behaving. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do cringe when Vlad does the speech, but then he invites Hamas to Moscow, and it's like, okay, well, you know,
it's like he does a speech that it almost feels like it's like bait to get like Brandon Martinez to make a post about how he's anti-white. I was like, oh, that's right, the last person that's ever going to be on.
He's
like,
actually
any important
subtly
person.
Like subtweeting him, like he's actually. Like Big Vlad is actually like subtweeting,
but no, it's like
I highly doubt it.
But it's like oh, that's right. These people just don't figure into anybody's equation at all, except for the Jews that are trying to keep whites retarded, so they can't take their sides. Like no. It was a little frustrating.
Well, they try and take the fact that he's the other thing is like even if Vladimir Putin was completely real about all of that, right? Mm. Even if that wasn't just him engaging in like political rhetoric for political audiences to like not to try and offend as few people as possible while actually carrying out the policy he's carrying out, you know, it would still be better than our thing, right? So it's sort of like even if the other thing is they were like even if Russia were like the most like anti-Nazi people of color taking over thing, right? Even if it were that. It's not, but like, even if it were like the most, even if it were totally being taken over by brown people, and like, they're still like anti-fag and anti-trans, so it's still like marginally better than America. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there's no real argument. And I don't think they are, like, systematically destroying the white Russian race. That's a lie. It's not true.
I've dug into that a bunch. There's no substantial proof of that in any form.
Right, yeah. And so the thing is...
just a low birth rate, am I correct? I mean, that's basically...
Russia's birth rate is not that bad, actually.
Putin got the rural TFR to like 2.2, and then everything in 2019, there was a bit of an economic downturn in 2019, then COVID hit, then the war. Like, they had almost dealt with that problem, and then politics intervened.
If they win a war, their birth rate will probably explode afterwards anyway, because that is actually a pattern that happens.
So I'm very curious if that's going to happen, because that is almost always what happens. So I really, right. I'm sort of waiting on the edge of my nerd seat, waiting to see.
Yeah, right? Well, assuming we live that long. But
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of The Daily Shoah on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, therightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded. We have no sponsors. We have no mega-donors. We have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure, so you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
What was the outcome of this meeting with Hamas?
I'm not exactly sure, but the fact that they...
Just basically, having a meeting is like, yeah.
This organization that the Jews are getting everybody to say is a fundamentally illegitimate organization. So any organization that is actually oppositional, any Palestinian organization that's actually oppositional to Israel, is going to be characterized as illegitimate.
Yeah.
Undemocratic, illegitimate, having terrorists. Just a terrorist organization, etc. So the Palestinian Authority is legitimate because it's Israel's bitch. It does whatever they say.
Right.
It actually is. It's a total... client proxy. Like, it's the Palestinian Authority is on its last legs too. It is, because they're going in and fighting in the West Bank anyway. That's the whole thing. But they want the Palestinian Authority to take over Gaza too. That's probably not going to happen. But anything that's actually oppositional to Israel is illegitimate and terrorism. And they want everybody. One of the things they've been fighting for in the UN is some kind of declaration of such. From either the Security Council or the General Assembly, and they're not going to get it. And every resolution, they're having this tete-a-tete, like in the UN, with like competing resolutions, and they're getting voted down and getting vetoed. Nobody can get anything through. And now what Israel's really worried about, because they're not getting anything through the Security Council because of the U.S. veto and everything, is just a General Assembly resolution that will pass with like 2/3 of the world voting for it, that says Israel must cease fire, Israel has to stop killing Palestinians, and won't say anything about Hamas and every bad thing that they do. They're really worried that they want all countries to be like, but make sure, remember, Hamas is an illegitimate entity. So they're even willing to accept some criticism of themselves as long as everyone's characterizing their enemy as illegitimate. And by having Hamas as like an actual diplomatic envoy in Moscow, Russia is basically saying, yeah, no. Like, we actually consider Hamas to be a legitimate, effectively a legitimate government, a legitimate force here, a legitimate entity that has bargaining rights in this conflict.
That's the funny thing about, way they spin the narrative around the entire conflict is, like, the Jews and their proxies, like, they sort of try to characterize the Gaza Strip as being held hostage by these unpopular Hamas guys that nobody likes. They're holding these hostages, and the civilian deaths are terrible.
It's like you're holding the hostages,
Israel. They're your hostages. Hamas is standing up for them, and I'm sure
years ago, when I first got into this issue, that kind of rhetoric is what really made me start hating fucking Jews. Like the way that they blamed everything on their victim, the actual literal victim blaming, like as they're murdering people, they're like, well, it's your fault. It's your fault for fighting back. Why are you hitting yourself? They're well, literally doing funny. Like, why like, are you hitting yourself?
It's right? Literally the argument is we want this organization that stands up for our hostage victims and fights for them to cease to exist so we can have peace, which is say we want them just like we want Hamas to surrender. And then all these civilians, like, fuck them. Like, Egypt will take them. Jordan will take them. Or we'll just mow them down mm-hmm. and no one will know. It's like it's so blatant. And it's really the most annoying political discussion out there.
Well, Jews are just obnoxious on all across all fronts. Like, they're right. Literally, like, there's no legitimacy. Like, if you are opposed to them, you're just not legitimate, period. Right. And they do that to us. It's they do that. They're like, you know, the only way you can participate in the conversation in America, you know, they'll be like, you can even do a little bit of pro-white stuff here and there. But you can't be anti-Jewish. Like, if you're pro-white
you
and anti-Jewish.
You have to accept all of their core premises before you're allowed to say anything.
Right. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that, like, their rule is non-negotiable. It's not debatable. Like, that's
right, and that's why, right? That's why we refuse to engage in the well. Let's try and use Jews' anger now to get some brown people deported.
That's not
one. It's not going to happen. Okay, I guarantee you, it's not.
Jewish policy is importing browns, not deporting them.
That hasn't changed.
Your country is a dumping ground for the fighting age men they don't want in the Middle East.
Exactly. So even if they're causing some problems on the streets of America and Europe, they are...
it's not understated. They're causing a lot of problems. They're not by design. They're sent there by Jewish NGOs in Israel as a policy to both empty out their fucking areas because they want to establish greater Israel. They're not just going to stop at the between the river and the sea. It's going to go much beyond that. And to also just ruin your countries and help wipe you out. Like, that's what it's for.
So, yes, they're causing massive problems, but Jews never cared until they started causing problems for them.
Right.
And so that's what I mean by even if they're causing problems. Obviously we know that Muslim and brown immigration to America and Europe is a huge problem. Now, but they never cared until they caused problems for Jews. That should make you more angry.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to jump on board. It's just confessing the truth, too. That it's like you obviously – now – people that are adjacent to us are like, yes, Jews aren't. They don't have a problem, like the Martinez types, right? Like those people. They don't have a problem. Yeah, Jews are in charge, and therefore we should suck up to them to try and get what we want. Like, that's essentially what they're saying, right? That's the argument of those types, the BAP types, the that sphere. That is their thing. Jews are in charge. This isn't changing. We should kiss their ass to maybe get a concession. That's like Johnson position, et cetera. Yeah.
Right. Earlier today when I said we've already talked about this, when I meant we, I meant our politics. We in 2015, 2016, 2017, Donald Trump and sort of the anti-Islam political parties that used to be big in Europe, we have already been down this road. We already faked ourselves into believing we could get something out of this. It didn't work. We've already tried it. It manifestly didn't work. There was a migrant crisis in 2015 in the middle of trying to make this work. This does not work.
Right.
Stop licking the window of the people who hate you. They are never going to give you anything.
These people, we call them Overton window lickers.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
You can use that as a show title if you want, by the way. Overton window licker.
We didn't do that already.
I don't know if we have.
We did it already. The thing is, now
maybe we have. I feel like we should have.
The other thing is you will get people in our circles and in circles adjacent to us who begin granting Israel legitimacy. And they say, if we grant them legitimacy, they are somehow ipso facto obligated to grant us legitimacy. And we can have a discussion here. That's not how that shit works.
Yeah, those same people would probably turn around and say that, like, it was so stupid of Reagan to grant the mass amnesty to illegal immigrants before getting the quid pro quo, and they never did, right? Like, they would make the same, like, it's like they would make the same complaint about immigration, and it's like, well, so you want to do the same thing, but like on the global scale with Israel, we just give them what they want, and the road is open for us to get nothing because that's how this works.
The reality is they're just pussies, like that. I'm sorry to say, like, that's just what it is. Like, they're just fucking afraid. But here, if you want to get angry. Like, here's just some stuff to watch. Here's a funny little thing. You know, remember that faggot, like, Ned Price? This is along the lines of, like, remember that argument about, like, Well, what's the information? Well, I'm giving you the information. But what is the information?
I remember that. That was hilarious.
We have another similar little thing. This is a State Department briefing. This guy is not Ned Price. This guy's name is Matt Miller. Ned Price, who was a former State Department spokesman, who is a homosexual Jew, has been promoted to be one of Anthony Blinken's top advisors, and now they got this guy, Matt Miller.
They have launched a number of strikes, and
is not gay, but I think is probably actually both. Anyway, pressing forward.
There's nothing worse than these YouTube shorts because it just loaded.
YouTube
and started
shorts
playing,
sucks. Just do a normal YouTube video. You can't even find the pause button, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you can't wind it after you pause it. You can't wind it back. So I'm just gonna reload.
Okay.
Yeah, they have launched a number of strikes, and to make that determination.
See, James, what'd you do? You did it. You talked. Hold on. I'm gonna reload it again. Here we go.
We're just going to watch it.
Stop.
Let's just watch it.
They have launched a number of strikes, and to make that determination, you would have to conduct an examination of every strike, which obviously we have not done. Those are very fact-specific determinations that people here at the State Department would have to make. We have not made that assessment. I will say we do believe that they are not intending to strike civilians, that they're trying to conduct their operations in a way that minimize civilian harm.
Okay, and doesn't that mean then that you think that they are complying?
Again, that is, Matt, it is a legal determination that requires intense...
I'm not asking for a legal determination,
the question that you've asked is a legal question that requires a legal determination. There are formal assessments the State Department makes as to this question, and they require looking at very fact-specific determinations as regards to each strike. We are in the middle of this conflict. We have not made those determinations. They have launched a number of strikes.
Oh, is this not the same? What the fuck? Hold on. There was another one that was... Let me see. This...
They have launched...
Stop it! I'm sorry. This fucking YouTube short website. I just closed it. Terrible.
That I sent in your chat the other day, Mike?
Well, yeah, if you have it, send it. They're arguing... Well, the point is, it's the same one. They're arguing with this State Department spokesperson, and he is...
They're like snippy, this isn't a fact-based determination.
They're asking, like, have you determined that Israel is, like, if they're committing war crimes? And then they point out, well, you very quickly made the determination that Vladimir Putin was committing war crimes, but now you're hesitant to make a determination here. Like, what's going on with that? And they kind of got this guy tripping over himself with it. It was funny, but yeah.
That's the bad guy. Well, Putin's the bad guy.
I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
It's almost like, we're not doing an objectivity here. We're like, we have skin in the game, and this is like who the bad guys and good guys are.
Just print that in your paper.
Like, what journalist is he arguing with? It's just, where's
there's a couple of them. It's actually the same journalist that he was arguing with about the, but we gave you the information. Same one. It's the same guy he argues with. It's really funny.
Yeah, Sven, if I send you this on Telegram, are you able to play it on the show?
Yeah.
I have the actual video.
We'll be able to hear it. I won't be able to put it on screen, but that's fine.
Yeah, I have the video file, and I have it here on Telegram, but I don't have it.
Go ahead. Send it through. Let me find that.
Okay, hold on.
On my system here. Wow, I have a lot of programs that start with S. There's Tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's just sort of funny the sort of roundabout reasoning and chop logic, and it's like
in the chop.
He actually almost argues like, well, the problem is Israel's dropping so many bombs, we can't evaluate each
possibly
bomb.
Yeah, let me see if I can get this to
we can't
show
possibly
up.
Be able to evaluate every bomb because there's just so many of them, so
hey,
it's just impossible. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I got it.
This looks right.
All right, is it gonna
in March you condemned Israel's finance minister Bezalel Smotrich for calling for wiping the Palestinian village of Huwara off the map. This week we've heard the defense minister of Israel Yoav Gallant declare that he's fighting human animals in Gaza as Israel cuts off the gas, the water, and the electricity. We've heard Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, declare that all hiding places will be turned to rubble in a besieged coastal enclave where there are 1 million children. We've heard Ariel Kalner, who is a member of Knesset from the ruling Likud party, call for a Nakba 2.0, which is essentially a call for genocide and the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians as 850 are dead in Gaza. So what do you think of that rhetoric in light of your previous condemnation?
Let me say a few things about that. Number one, we expect, said, that...
Now, that just so everyone understands, that guy asking the question is Max Blumenthal, who I don't fucking trust. He's a Jew. Like, he's a leftist Jew. But anyway, it's sort of funny to put the State Department in this position.
Israel will conduct its operations in accordance with international law. Number two, there are going to be a number of statements made over the course of this conflict. And when we have disagreements with them, we will make those known privately. Number three, though,
Why not publicly?
Yeah, right? So you're saying that also, why not publicly? Yeah.
Also, like, you know, I'm wondering what Matt Cockrell thinks about those statements. Like, don't those statements objectively prove genocide? If people go a little bit far in what they say, isn't that? Anyway, yeah. This guy seems like a Holocaust denier now, right?
Number three, though. Let me just speak to this. Number three. Some of the questions I'm getting today do seem to ignore the fact that Israel just had hundreds of its citizens killed, people who were taken hostage.
History started that day.
And pretend that Israel shouldn't be able to conduct any kind of. Let me finish. Do you acknowledge that 80 Palestinian children have been killed? Let me finish. You asked a question. I will answer the question.
Okay, that's my
question. I hate these fucking fags that are the spokespeople for this fucking shit.
So yeah. I'm going to start by answering the previous question.
This snippy, like, tight fucking wad fucking faggot.
This dude has got to be a fag.
Like Ned Price is off screen, like, with his phone out with the app that controls the butt plug this guy's wearing.
Interrupted.
Yeah,
I will say some of the questions seem to pretend that Israel should not be able to conduct operations to defend itself and hold accountable the terrorists who killed civilians. That is not Israel's policy. That is not our policy. It is something that we would vehemently disagree with. Israel has the right.
That's actually, though, not what anybody's asking you, buddy. Like, no one's asking. Like, again, I don't acknowledge Israel's right to do anything.
No, Israel has no. Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's Daily Shoah. The first half, anyway, with annoying ads interrupting it throughout. You can get away from this by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and signing up for a subscription. You will be treated to the full show on a convenient RSS feed in one giant file. You'll never have to hear these sales pitches again, and you'll get to comment and use the Bang forum. What fun! Join us, therightstuff.biz/paywall.
No right to exist.
Where does the right to do any of this come from?
But he continues to say, like, any time, he's essentially saying any accusation that Israel is, like, committing war crimes or is talking about genocide amounts to a denial that they have any right to, like, fight back. So he's totally dodging the question by accusing people of something that is verboten to say in these circles, which is that, like, you're just saying, oh, you're, like, killing kids. Oh, so you're saying they have no right to defend themselves. I'm like, all right, well, if your point is that Israel's self-defense means they must kill children, then I think now we have to go back to the drawing board on Israel and see maybe this needs to be wiped off of the whiteboard. Yeah, maybe we need to take that dry erase board and just wipe it clean of Israel if the only way for it to defend itself is to kill children. And if you ask Jews, they will tell you the only way for Israel to defend itself is to kill children. They will openly say
this. Right to secure its country the way any country does. It has the right to defend itself against terrorism. It has the right to hold terrorists accountable. And I will say,
but the terrorists are their hostages. They're occupied. It's an occupation. It's not a country. It's an
occupation. It's really interesting.
It's a fucking occupation. They're occupiers. I hate that. And it's like the journalists like say that it's not a fucking country. It's an occupation zone. They're not wanted there, but they have more fucking hardware and more money because they have us fucking sticking up for them. That's the situation. There's no right from anybody to anything.
What's very funny is how behind the eight ball they are already when arguing for Israel, that they always have to stress these points. Like, it's not a given. You know what I mean? Like, because it's sort of like you assume that a country has the right to defend itself, right? This isn't something you need. You don't really hear people consistently say such and such has a right to defend itself, like Britain or France or America or Russia. You know, nobody says these things because it's inherently, they get it inherently that it's true.
Yeah.
But they always are forcing that. They sort of want to hear everybody say that about Israel.
Right.
Because they're constantly worried that people don't think Israel is a legitimate country.
Because they know it's not.
Because it's not. And so they're always worried that they're always like, no, you have to. They are just like anybody else. They have a right. They could do this. It's like, no, nobody actually thinks so. Like, you're worried. You're constantly fucking worried that people just don't think so. And like people that are informed on the issue don't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They don't.
That's right, neighbor. Let's see.
Ultimately, the Hamas terrorists who launched these operations, there is no one who has more disregard for Palestinian civilian life than those terrorists.
Yeah, because that's those a fucking complete
that is a
lie.
Just they're fighting up for those people.
Terrorists. Let me finish. Let me finish. Those terrorists launched this activity. Those terrorists, again, we have a lot of new, we seem to have a lot of new people. Those terrorists launched this activity.
We have a lot of new people. You don't get the shot here. We don't talk that way around here. We don't do that.
Knowing that there would be retaliation, knowing that Israel would have to defend itself as any country did, knowing that it would lead to the unfortunate loss of civilian lives by their Palestinians, and they did anyway. Let me go ahead.
That's amazing.
You know what's funny? Max Blumenthal got in there because he's a fucking... Look, I don't like Max Blumenthal, all right? Like, I don't trust him, I'll be honest, because he's Jewish. I don't trust him. But what's funny is they probably let him in without thinking about it because his name is Max Blumenthal. Yeah. So his press pass, his clearance to go and ask questions at this briefing of this guy was probably like, oh, yeah, Max... Oh, no, new guy named Max Blumenthal wants to come? Okay, no problem. Blumenthal, that guy, wow, that'll be good. That'll be easy. No problem. And then he's causing
some broad talk to him. Is there more?
He's not going to be allowed back. They're not going to allow Max Blumenthal back.
Is there more to this, or is that the, it seems like the end of the Blumenthal segment? That's it?
I mean, there probably is more. I don't want to watch the whole fucking
thing. Okay.
We've had enough. This guy, I fucking can't stand this guy. This guy is like, you know, he almost is like a clone of Ned Price.
Yeah.
He's really almost a clone of him. It's quite funny, actually. But yeah.
Okay, so let me get rid of this Telegram window. All right. Yeah. So that's interesting.
Is James still? Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
He's too polite.
You know, you can chime in whenever you want.
Start yelling.
I know.
You can jump in.
I was letting the horrible cringe State Department cuck make a fool of himself.
So that guy's name is Matt Miller.
Matt Miller.
First time I saw him, I immediately took to Wikipedia, and I was incredibly shocked when Early Life let me down. I was like, no!
I wouldn't assume it. Like, it says
he's some kind of Christian guy.
I wouldn't assume that. He says that, it says that his father is a pastor. But that doesn't mean that one of his parents isn't Jewish.
That's
and
true.
It doesn't even mean that his father isn't Jewish. Because, you know, we've talked about the Anglican Archbishop. Now, here's what's funny. The Archbishop of Canterbury, who's like the Pope of the Anglican
Joseph
Church.
Joseph Welby, yeah.
He's a Jew.
Yep.
And what's funny
now
is
there's a Canterbury tale for you.
The Canterbury Tales, right? More like the Canterbury Fails. Sorry about that one.
I wrote it down. It's in there.
Yeah, might as well. You know, it was obvious. It's hanging out there. You know, might as well just take it, right? It's like the low hanging fruit. It's like the it's like a high hanging curveball, low hanging fruit. It's like the high hanging fruit.
Just
you
reach just out and
that
grab
right
it
out of the park.
There's low hanging fruit everywhere. He's got to know how to reach out and grab it. You know, it's okay.
Things that are hanging are always the ones that, you know, you could do. Like the fruit's hanging, the curveball's hanging.
Curveball's hanging. Yeah, right over the plate.
It's like a hanging curved fruit. But it's like a banana.
Nobody ever says they're hung like a curveball. I don't know. Never heard that one before. Maybe I should start using that.
Oh, you never heard hanging curve?
No. I mean, like, no one ever says like, hey, he was hung like a curveball. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Okay. But what the fuck was I talking about?
I don't know. It's a good derail.
That was a good derail.
The Archbishop of Canterbury.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about the
Jew. The Anglican Church is like the most cucked, like lip-hearted, like pro-homosexual institution. But the thing is that the people, the white liberals that go there are not fans of Israel. They don't like Israel. And I know this because I attended the Anglican Church for many years, and or the Episcopal Church in America, which is the same thing. They actually do, I think, recognize the authority of the Archbishop. And I know the type of people that go, and it's the kinds of people that, like, my family was. It's very lip-hearted, middle and upper middle class white people, professional jobs, status-laden jobs, like professors or executives at businesses and things like that, like high-status people. And they're very liberal, and they don't like Israel. Now, they would be horrified at the idea that they're anti-Semitic, but they will have the idea, well, Israel is doing bad stuff. It's, racist, doing genocide, like, things like this. And oftentimes they would even, there would even be churches that would, say stuff about their position on Israel back in, the 90s, 80s, 90s, aughts. They don't do it anymore. But now we have this guy who's probably one of the most flaming pro-homosexual. Basically, he's overseeing just, the complete – ethnic cleansing of non-homosexuals from the Episcopal Church or the Anglican Church in England, and now here he comes out saying let's not be anti-Semitic and say that Israel definitely bombed that hospital. And so the guy's a fucking Jew. He's a Jew. His dad, I think his father is Jewish or something like that.
German Jewish immigrant.
Right. That was his dad, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So the guy's a Jew. He's a fucking Jew. Yeah. So a lot of these people who are claiming, who are like, his father is a pastor. I don't rule out that Matt Miller is a Jew. Miller is a very Jewish last name. I don't. No offense if anyone's named Miller that's not Jewish, but in America, particularly somebody in a powerful position with the last name Miller is a Jew. And frankly, the only person I ever knew growing up with the last name Miller was Jewish. Miller is a highly Jewish name in America. It's actually one of the most common. Names that Jews have in the United States is Miller. So, yeah, I do not in any form assume that this guy is not actually Jewish.
He has to be.
Yeah. And also, he's in the State Department. He's in the State Department. They're all kikes. Like, the whole fucking thing is Jewish. The State Department is completely Jewed. Like, they're all Jews.
I've written on that.
Yeah.
Several times. Oh, yeah. My God. There's not a Gentile in sight in the State Department.
Yeah, it's totally Jewish. Right. So, yeah, I really doubt this guy's not Jewish. I'll just put that out there. Anyway. I don't know. We should talk about the main shooter a bit. I do want to talk about that. Well, there's not much
we're almost out of time here. Let's say it on the other hour. But
we could go and
move
it at the other hour. Yeah.
This Johnson character. Big Johnson. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House. So I was just looking at it after the conversation moved on. I still had it open on Twitter. The usual conservatard thing is happening. Like, you're a conservative Republican. You try to put this out there that you've taken in and adopted this black son. And as usual, just the typical thing, you are getting zero credit for it. Mike Johnson is now...
No.
He's a racist because... The black son is not included in any of his family photos with his white kids, and he never talks about them. So he really is a racist.
How can he be in family photos when he's in juvenile detention all the time?
Yeah, right. But it's also just like these people just never learn. They just you don't get any credit from anybody, even if this is you're doing this for which makes you believe my God, you took a black teenager into your home as a newlywed out of actual real altruism, which is fucking stupid as hell.
They get credit for it in their own community, in their evangelical religious communities.
Yes.
They get clout for that. So that's where the clout chips are cashed. It's not necessarily on the public stage nationally.
Now fucking Telegram is running background in my fucking.
And I even learned, I forgot to mention, they did that just after getting married. In their 20s, the kid was 14, and they had a baby daughter. Like, how absolutely...
That's asking for trouble.
Yeah, how insane can you be?
Asking for trouble.
Ridiculous. According to Talking Points Memo, I feel like Rush Limbaugh saying that. Talking Points Memo this morning.
Oh, God.
So These are the kind of photos that he put up there. There's nothing on his campaign websites or anything of his history about his black son. He just every now and then brings up his black son for like certain kinds of clout. Like in 2019, gave a little speech like opposing slave reparations by saying that his adopted black son was also against them.
That is fucking hilarious.
And so now, of course,
that
is just
that. If anybody's angry about that and doesn't just find that really funny, like, I don't know what to tell you. That is really fucking hilarious. That is actually funny.
He says, "Let me
finish."
And
the thing is, the problem is, he's not joking. Like, if he were joking, I would almost be like, "Okay, good. Well, that's actually pretty good." My black son opposes.
He says, "Let me finish. Listen, wait a minute. Many of my colleagues in this committee may not be aware, in addition to our four children at home, my wife and I have a much older son who happens to be African-American." So we took.
But he doesn't happen to be. You adopted him.
He doesn't happen to be. Like, how does he happen? So, and I asked Michael this weekend what he thinks about the idea of reparations. In a very thoughtful way, he explained his opposition.
Oh my God!
What is this? Was in a committee, committee hearing? I don't know. What a fucking thing to say.
The problem is that he's serious. Like, if he was doing that as a troll, I would be like, "Okay, guy, like that masterclass." But he's not. No. He's actually serious about it.
So there's another one.
That is fucking funny, man. Oh my God.
MAGA Mike apparently doesn't include Michael in any family photos with his white kids, and he won't discuss his black son, who is now reportedly 40 years old. Out of privacy or something. So,
wait, his black son is like the same age as him.
I guess
Johnson's
so.
51.
That makes sense.
40 years old. What the hell? This fucking Jesus! I can't. This how? There's no way. There's no way to process this. There just isn't. Oh my God.
I mean, he could easily say, well, yeah, he's not in the photos because he grew up and moved away.
You're right.
He's not in juvie. He's in prison.
All right. Yeah. So Hieronymus McGillicuddy on Twitter asks one of these tweets. So is Michael a friend of Nestor's? That's a deep cut. I like
yes,
that.
Michael and Nestor are good friends. Michael hangs out with Nestor all the time.
Oh,
yeah,
my
solid.
God. This America.
Oh my
just,
God!
How can this country continue? This country exists. Never forget that.
Well, I actually think that was it crazy. Ever shown that like Matt Gaetz had actually adopted Nestor? Like, I think he was just lying about that. I don't think he even adopted. I think that was just his girlfriend's younger brother. Like, my understanding was Nestor was just like Matt Gaetz was dating this broad, and like Nestor was just her younger brother.
I thought he was dating both of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure, that's possible. I actually counter signaled that he's gay and having sex with Nestor stuff, because I don't think that was actually what was going on. I honestly think that he was just dating some Latinx chick. She had a younger brother, and he just.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Southern Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
Just pretended that her younger brother was his son for like political points. But I don't know if it was ever shown that he actually ever adopted this guy. And he had pictures of them like fishing or something like that from times when they did that together.
I thought there were pictures
like I don't even think he was. I think it's almost like I think he's just pure cynicism. I don't even think he's a fag. I don't actually think Matt Gaetz is a fag. I think he's just pure cynicism. Like he's just like, yeah, I got a brown son. Like that's my view on it. I know people like the idea of him being a fag.
Have you seen? You seen Matt Gaetz's fucking eyebrows lately? Like there's something going on. Something
I haven't seen them.
There's like something going on. Like this Israel, like the Israel fucking. conflict starts to heat up, and like Matt Gaetz and like Ben Shapiro, suddenly like their eyebrows like fucking mutate, and they become like very
they're
angry,
thicker and thicker.
They become
yeah,
like
I just googled this. Yeah. They're like arched upward. I mean, it looks like he's going for
it's
Joker
like that,
look.
It's like that scene from Seinfeld when Uncle Leo had them shaved off or whatever, and they drew him back on with Sharpies.
You know who he looks like? Matt Gaetz looks like Garrett Wilders. He looks like a discount American Garrett Wilders.
That's wild. Which is
there's
actually,
a name
that's
I haven't heard
ambition.
In a very
that's
long,
like, that's
long
what he wants
time.
To be.
I've not heard.
Right. Well, he'll have to actually come in, have a relationship with Nestor in order for that to be totally true. But yeah.
I'm trying to find a good shot of him with the he actually, yeah, he kind of looks like, in this one, he kind of looks like, well, ain't it like getting a load of me?
It's yeah, like the Nicholson, he's definitely Joker doing a little bit.
You want to get cucked? Let's get cucked.
Yeah, he actually, I don't even want to give him like credit for kind of looking like Jack Nicholson, but he kind of does. Oh my God.
Well, I saw a clip.
It's like, I don't want to make him be like, cool.
It doesn't come across as much in the pictures, but like there was a video clip I saw of him yesterday, and the eyebrows just were crazy. They were just like moving, and he was talking about the new speaker.
Yeah.
And,
yes, I know what you mean. He looks like weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
If you look at older pictures of him, he's not doing the crazy eyebrow bit. He's just kind of got
be
like
it right here, just like, and of course I'm like panoramaed up a little too high. They just kind of just like go all over the place.
Congressman Jason Smith is a Republican, though when you hear what he has to say, he's not going to sound like one at times. And he has been one of the most loyal lapdogs for former Speaker McCarthy and for the lobbyists and special interests on K Street.
So he's a Republican.
Like AIPAC?
Yeah, right. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about J Street.
Talk about AIPAC, Matt.
Anyway, there's literally no reason to listen to that. He's going to complain about some rhino.
No. His whole thing is like, I don't even.
We don't do missile photograph analysis here on TDS. We analyze your eyebrows.
Eyebrow
analysis.
Eyebrow analysis, yeah.
Well, you saw the Shapiro eyebrows, right?
The Shapiro eyebrows are just out of fucking control. It's just, dude. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
It's like the genocidal maniac look.
Hey now. That's still image of him. That's still image of him with the subtitle, the title of the podcast being like the face of pure evil. It's like, bro.
Yeah.
What are you referring to? It's just, he looks like a cartoon villain. People all look like people are pathetic.
He looks like, he used to when he was younger, like it seems like he trimmed those down. Maybe he just doesn't have time anymore.
They're very thick and they were very black. Like just, they look like stickers.
They all age like a turd left in the sun. I mean, none of them age gracefully.
I mean, Ben Shapiro is just—he is an odious little weasel. Like the whole focus on like optics and like how people look, which is this weird obsession with like the online right, is odd given
like sometimes
how actually weird and fucked up people actually with power look. You know, So it's strange, you know. They're like, why there's no empirical evidence that looking like a male model gets you anywhere.
Oh, there's a good one,
right? There's no actual evidence of this.
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
Yeah, that's just crazy. Well, not everybody can be Hovader, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying he's just trying to be Tony Hovader. That's his problem.
No, don't say things like that.
Well, no, I'm saying he's not getting there.
He's like, we have Tony Hovader at home. Like, Tony Hovader at home.
Right.
This fucking guy. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll talk about Maine and bowling and all the other stuff that's going on there. Maine, bowling, and boating on hour two. So get those get those subs in to the Odyssey. And I almost blew our eardrums out, but I just noticed that fader was up high, so now I'll hit the bumper. Safely.